Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, happy you have a blessed new year. I'm excited about 2024, things that God has planned for us. And so I've entitled the message this morning, Turn the Page. Turn the Page. Just to give you a little idea of where we're headed here in the next couple of weeks. Next week, I want to talk about prayer because the weekend after that, we're going to do our 24 hours of prayer. So really, what I've God's put on my heart is just a simple phrase, why pray? And just want to talk to you about why should we should engage in prayer. What's the significance? What does it make any difference or not? And most of us probably know the answer to that, but just go into the Word and really dig it out. It's going to be fresh for us to get set for then the following weekend that we will then pray. That will be then the Sunday after that is the 14th, I believe it is. One is going to be preaching, so I've invited her to preach, and yeah, it's going to be fun. So she's going to bring the message. I'm actually going to be at another church preaching on first fruits. They've invited me, another Dove Church, to go preach about first fruits. And then the following Sunday after that, the third, is my annual first fruits message. So look forward to that. It's going to be a great time. I'm always excited about sharing this this message because it's something that God has worked not only to the hearts of many of us, but also into the church body that has borne much fruit. And it's always exciting to see people practice first fruits for the first time and see how the Lord just pours out increase into their life. And so I look forward to that third. And then coming up at the end of the month, we got our Crossroads family meeting. That's always fun where we get reports from past different departments and look into the future about what's happening. That'll be an evening time. Anyhow, I'm just I'm being your live app this morning. I'm just unloading here for you. You don't have to go check out the app. You can just listen to me here. Hit rewind button or record, and yeah, there you have it. All right, let's jump in for today. Turn the page. I'm going to be in Luke chapter 19 after a while. But I want to talk to you a few moments about what happens when you get to a new year and you turn the page or start a new chapter, whatever you terminology you use. What changes at the beginning of a year? Well, a date changes, right? I mean, you have to learn how to do 24, not 23. There's resolutions that are oftentimes made. People decide that they want to change something or they want to start something or they want to, you know, accomplish something that maybe didn't get accomplished. And so they like, I'm going to step in. I'm going to do this coming year. So it's kind of a renewal of things that we'd like to see happen in our lives that start at the beginning of the new year. Sometimes there's fresh starts that are anticipated. Maybe you're starting a new job on the second. Maybe there's something that's happening that you're like, wow, look forward to this. And fresh starts are anticipated in the year. If you're in business that relates to quotas, your quota is at zero. Yeah. You're like built it all up and you got a huge bonus and then you come to January 1st and it's like zero. And then you start again. Budgets get started. They get switched over into the new budgets. And it's a new tax year. Well, I'm just going from bad to worse, aren't I? Bob Seger in the Silver Bullet Band wrote a song back in the 70s called Turn the Page. I don't know if you've ever heard that one or not. I can't remember if it made it on the radio or not, or whether it was just on one of his albums that I listened to, but way back when, way back past season. Yeah, past season. And so it's kind of interesting. The song was recorded for a traveling musician, and the whole idea is you just do the same thing over again. You know, you get on the bus, and you get on stage, and you get off stage, and you get on the bus, and you just turn the page. And that's kind of the nature of the song that is there. And what I want to propose to you, that it's not just turning the page, but there is new things that God has for us in 2024. You know, we usually mark out our lives through hours, days, weeks, months, years, sometimes decades, but that's usually not how we think. It's more mapped out through hours and days and weeks and months and years. And so as we go through that, we check off the days, or maybe we check off a month, and we really just kind of go through life that way. And then we get to the end of the year, and it's like, okay, it's time for something new. The question is, do you start a new chapter, or are you just turning the page? It could be one or the other. Like, I think about Crossroads, where we're at in our season as a church. We started in 1998, and I would say that right now we're in the third chapter of where we are as a church, probably three-quarters of the way through, maybe a little bit less than that, and I'll tell you why here in a few moments. But the first chapter of Crossroads was about establishing who we were as a people and what our identity was and how we weathered some storms and we grew in leadership and we understood how to work with people and we understood what was important and what was not. The first 10 years were really, really just trying to figure out us and who we were as God called us to be a local church here in the Winchester area. I've heard it said that church plants, and it's probably true in business, that I've heard, you know, the first 5 years are the crucial ones, and if you make it the first 5 years, you're probably going to make it, and if don't, you won't. But churches are kind of like that as well. They say it takes 7 years in order for a church to really have a solid core from which they can grow and spring from. Of course, that's usually not the ones that get the headline. The headlines are the ones that spring up and, you know, have 1,000 people in the second week. Well, that's generally not life. There are exceptions. There are churches that do that. But there is a whole lot of things that have taken place before they opened the door the first time if they went to 2,000 the second week. Let me tell you. A whole lot of things took place behind the scenes that they never reported on. And that's just the reality of life. And so as I look at Crossroads, the first, again, we're just figuring out who we were and how we work together and establish that. The second chapter, I would say, is when we landed in this place, this building that we're in. We were in seven different locations until we landed here. This is the seventh. So we were nomads at times, wandering around, figuring where's the next place is. I've heard it said that we just have smart people because, you know, if you didn't have smart, you couldn't find us. We would move from place to place. No, a lot of smart people here because they follow us around. But the second chapter would really what I would call when we understood what it meant to be presence-centered as a congregation. Some of you may understand that more than others, but really God began, this happened about 2011, that we joined with four other churches, so there were five total, that we came together for 21 days and we met every night and we just really cleaned out our heart before God. That's how I could express it. We confessed things, we told God what we wanted, and with the four other churches, it was just a phenomenal time. But God did something in our hearts as a church here and as a leadership that we've continued to nurture what it means to be presence-centered. And we have people that visit from time to time and they come in and go, wow, the presence of God is here. And we're like, yeah, we planned it that way. we nurture the presence of God. And again, I don't have time. Maybe a message I'll go into what that really means and how you continue in that. But I would really say that began the second chapter. I realize it's a few years in after we're in this building. But it really began to change us and begin for us to understand what it means to host God's presence and carry God's presence and make decisions out of God's presence. And not just, you know, go on business as usual. And then I would say a few years before COVID is what I would probably characterize as starting the third chapter of Crossroads. But a couple of years before that, we were just a church of 150 people for 15 years. And then all of a sudden, God just started bringing people. There were things that changed in the community. There were things that were happening. And then COVID hit. We grew through COVID. I mean, the Lord just, again, how we handled it and how he chose us to walk in faith rather than fear, we grew a lot. People were like, I want more than what I have. Sometimes the churches shut down. Sometimes they didn't open. And God used all that. Again, it was maybe a negative time, but God used all of that, again, to encourage us. And we grew and we added staff and we're still adding staff. And it's just this third chapter that we're in. And so why do I say that we're still in the third chapter? Because I believe the fourth chapter for Crossroads will start when he identifies the next place that we're going to be. Amen. And that will start when I sense will be the fourth chapter. When he identifies either land or building, where he's taking us next, that's going to be the opening of the fourth chapter. So I propose to you that today we're not just starting a new chapter, but we're turning the page. And what do I mean by that? More of what happened in the last number of years that we're just going to experience more. And we're going to go through some of that today of just the more that God wants to do in our midst. But it's going to be an exciting time. I'm looking forward to turning the page, and I trust that you are too. Maybe you're starting a chapter in your life, something new that you've not done before. That could be your where you're at personally. But I want to do, before I step into how do we turn the page and just some practical things, I want to just kind of review 2023 for us real briefly. Just go over some things that happened so that we can remember. Some of you that are newer, you would like, wow, I never knew that or that happened or whatever. So it kind of updates you and puts us all on the same page. We actually started doing this as more of a tradition back when the first year of COVID happens, because everybody was trashing 2019. And we're like, we're not going to trash 2019. We're going to treasure 2019. Amen. And so as a result of that, we just listed all the things that we're able to do and accomplish in 2019 when everybody was trashing it. We're like, no, we're going to treasure it, because we believe that God was working even in the midst of everything that went on. Let me read to you out of Romans 15, and then we'll look at these things that happened in 20. This is just a small portion, not all for sure. But Romans 15, 4 says this: for everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement we might have hope. What a great verse. It says the things are written down, that as we progress through them, that we can then gain the hope that we need in order to make it through. All right, so here we go, this list of 2023. And again, there's written kind of small. Hopefully you can read it well. As long as I can read it, we're all good. We started out in January, and we had what we held a night of identity, which was an amazing time of people just understanding in a little different way who they are in Christ and maybe some of the obstacles that were in the way. There was a very, very powerful night. We did 23 hours of prayer because it was 2023. That was an amazing time. We kept a journal. I still have that journal, summarized the things that the Lord spoke, and I preached on those in the following week. We had 3 Free Me Days. How many of you have participated at a Free Me Day? Let me see your hands. All right, great. Hands all around this place. It's an amazing time when we go and discover that as we come to Christ, there's things in our lives that we've inherited from the old life, and they just need to be acknowledged and let go of and gotten free. We held 3 of those, and 20 people experienced freedom through that time. Free Me Day, we also took it on the road, and 28 people participated on the Eastern Shore in Free Me Day. And also, there's a men's group currently that's going through those 7 steps, taking their time and going through and having the Lord direct them in that. We had a marriage investment day, 21 couples we had in this room. It was an amazing time of just understanding what it means to bless marriages. And boy, there was an activity in there that was, I'll never forget. Those of you that were there are like, wow, that was something else. So I'll just leave it at a mystery at this point. Those of you that weren't there. Brian Wills came. And he taught us about healing. He had a day of teaching, and that was amazing. I know of 3 distinct miracles that came out of that time. One was a lady gave testimony that God healed her of long COVID. She had been struggling with that, and during that conference, the Lord just snapped. She snapped out of it. She's fine today. Had another one that was experiencing seizures for a long period of time in her life. During that time, snapped out of it. No seizures again. After that, amazing, and also a healing of a shoulder, I believe, that was a part of that as well. That's the ones that I heard about. Sometimes God does things that we don't hear about. We had the prophetic training conference in August, and we had 116 attended from 8 different states. Amazing. That was a beautiful time together, just a training course that actually was canceled during COVID, and then we rescheduled it for last year. We celebrated 25 years as a church. Yeah, that was amazing. Wow, so phenomenal. I had another pastor approach me about giving oversight to them, so I give oversight to 2 local pastors in the area. We had our first Pulse Youth Service. That was amazing. In fact, I've scheduled our second. It's going to be early in February that we're going to have our second Pulse Service. Our young people, after they get back from the youth conference, we're going to look forward to hearing from them. We had 8 students, 8 leaders attend Dove's Evangelist of Missions training. That was during the summertime. 12 students and 4 leaders attend the Dove Winter Retreat. I think we got a great group that's happening. You heard about that on the video today. We added two new elders. They were serving on the team, but they became elders. Emily Payne and Tracy DiPolo became elders at Crossroads, and that was really exciting to go through that process. We hosted Hearing God's Voice with Mark Verkler. We just did a night with him, and maybe there's conversation about bringing him back for like a couple of day conference so that we really understand how to hear the voice of God in a clear way. Saturday Night Soaking returned last year, and we also hosted the Global Leadership Summit for the second year in a row. Very, very, very powerful. I've never been a part of a leadership conference that empowers everybody to be a leader right where they're at, and that certainly conference certainly does that. We expect to host it again this year. We had two Crossroads presentations on Sunday morning. Last week's was amazing. Were you here for that? That was phenomenal. Alicia and the kids, they I'm telling you what, that was awesome. They brought down the house. That was great. We began ministry to some. That stands for so that others might eat. It's a ministry that is housed back in West Virginia. They come and visit us twice a month, and then we go back there every other week and minister to them. It's a pretty amazing, amazing opportunity there. We have over a dozen salvations. I lost track of salvations. Sometimes it's tough to hear, and I hear about people being coming to the Lord during the week as well, and some baptisms in following that. 33 people attended Discover Crossroads this year in 2023, and we sent over 80 shoeboxes of gifts to Samaritan Ministries. That's phenomenal. That's great. And we sowed into international and local ministries. Billy shared with us last week about all the local ministries, I think 11 that we've sown into, and then also international ministries, we've sown into those. Really what happened is that during our family meeting, we kind of go into more detail of specifics of who we are supporting, and again, how you can get involved individually in that. So a little snapshot of 2023. And that's just a small pour. Amen. Yeah, give God a hand. Praise Him. So I'm just expecting more in 24. I'm more healings, more salvations, more deliverances, more discipleship, more, you know, just more of what God calls the church to be. And I'm excited about that. I'm actually going through a series on healing here in my own life. And, you know, the Lord's having to take some old mindsets that I've had and replace them with the Word of God, something new. And so it's a journey for me, and I'm excited about learning. And I know that God has great things to teach us. So the question I have is, what or who caused you to grow in 2023? Again, I don't have time to dialogue that, but maybe you can talk about it over dinner. What or who caused you to grow in 2023? You know, growing is not necessarily easy. If you've been in school and you've picked up a hard subject or something like that, some of your teachers, you know, some students struggle in some classes more than others. And so growing can be tough at times. It's not always fun and, oh, wow, this is great. Sometimes we face tough stuff. In the same way in a Christian life, we face struggles. We face things that are hard. We face things that we think are impossible and won't go away. But we stay in there with the Lord. And as a result, He gives us breakthrough. We sang about it this morning. You know, that's the victory that He brings us. And so I'm really excited about how He is going to, what He's going to show us and how we're going to grow this year. And it may not always be easy. But when you're with the Lord, then it gets to the place where you get the revelation to break through, and then it is absolutely a joy. Number two, keep reading and writing in your book. God told Joshua started a new chapter. And God says, Moses is dead. That's when you know a new chapter is starting. Joshua, Moses is dead. You can't go to him anymore and get counsel. You can't have him lay hands on you. You can't get advice anymore. Moses is gone. And then God encourages Joshua. And this is just one part of the first chapter of Joshua. It says, keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. You know, it's one of those things that we read and we come to the end, the bottom line. Then you will be prosperous and successful. And lots of times we read the first part and we come to the end and we doubt the end. Well, God, you're not talking about me. Oh, yeah. I don't think I can be prosper. I don't think I can be successful. Well, God says, are you doing the first part? Are you meditating on my word? Are you talking about it? Are you praying? Are you meditating? Because if you're doing the first part, you will get the second part's a byproduct of the first. And we think that we're doing the first, and then we doubt that the second will come. And that's not God's word. It's a result of that. And so the Lord says to Joshua, meditate on the law of Moses. What do? We're supposed to meditate and learn and understand the life and the teachings of Jesus. Because Jesus is the one that is the upgrade from the Old Testament. Now, there's some things that apply and come through, but there's other things that were stopped. And sometimes in our mind, we actually program our mind like the Old Testament rather than the New. And that's why we have to stay updated in keeping to read and meditate on the teachings of Jesus and the understandings of Paul. That's really, really important, so that we can stay engaged in what God expects the church to be and to do today. And lots of times, sometimes we can go back and fall back in on something that happened in the Old Testament, a practice that's really not valid anymore in the New. Like, for instance, how many people, don't show of hands, okay, just that. But how many people have heard, I'm going to put out a fleece to see what God has to say. I'm going to put out a fleece here. Well, Gideon did that, and it worked for him. He didn't even doubt, he doubted the first one. And he said, God, you need to do that again. And God did it, you know, a different way the second time, but he knew it was God. Do we do fleeces today? No. We hear the voice of God. We hear the voice of God. The Holy Spirit lives within us. And we tune in to hearing the voice of God, the affirmation, the peace, the courage to step out when we're not sure, but we trust God as much as we know. No, we don't do fleeces anymore. It's just one example of in the New Testament that we hear the voice of God and we walk in it with confidence. That was just extra, okay? That wasn't in my notes. It was just a little bit extra. So, we're talking about turning the page, and some of you are thinking, well, I'm never going to write a book. I'm not going to write an autobiography about my life. I'm not interested in doing that. I don't feel called to do that, write a book. Well, let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, your life is a book.
Yes, hallelujah.
It's a book that people are reading, and a book that people are looking at, and a book that people are watching. And they're reading your book. They're reading your life. And depending upon, this is not a heavy, this is a reality, depending upon how you live and what you're talking about and your outlook, depending upon how you are writing your life and letting God guide it, they're reading it and they're deciding. And that's just a reality of how we live today. And we should be excited that we might not write a book, you know, physically, but we are writing a book in the way that we're living our life before Christ and before others.
Amen.
And we have to understand that. You know, there were people that in this book, the Bible, there were people whose names are named after the book, right? Like Joshua. Was the book of Joshua about Joshua? No, it wasn't about Joshua. It was about God working through Joshua's life. You had Jeremiah, you got Isaiah, you got all the prophets, Amos, you got Esther, you got Ruth, you got Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and James, and Jude. You got people that their names are written on a book that we read, but it's not about their life. It's about the life that they live in relationship with God. It's about their perspective. And so you and I, in a sense, are still writing a book that has your name on it, that is how you were living your life before God. And others are reading that. And we're adding to it. We're not done yet. You're breathing. You got strength. You're still, I don't know what chapter you're in, but we're writing our book and living our life. And others are watching and reading it. And it's not about you. It's about, just like the guys that had their names written there, it's not about you. It's about your life and how others are seeing and reading it. So God has plans. Have you made yours? Sometimes people say, well, when you turn the page, the page that you're turning over to is totally blank. And you have to fill it in. You heard that before? I don't agree with that. Why don't I agree with that? Because God already has plans on the page that I'm turning over to.
Amen.
He already has plans for me. And I turn the page and I discover more of those plans that he has for me. And then I fill in the blanks where I fit. And you fill in the blanks where you fit. And so the reality is that he's already made plans for you as you turn the page, as I turn the page.
Amen.
And we just fill in the blanks. And it's a beautiful way to live. Let me give you a couple of examples. Many of you probably know this, but Jeremiah 29:11. Again, these are God's plans for you on the page that you're about ready to turn. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. So God's plans are already written on that page that you're turning to. They're already there. We just have to fill in the blanks. Here's another one. Is that Psalm 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Sometimes we think, well, they're my desires. Are they God's? Well, who put them in there? That's the question. What's the purpose of the desires that you have? Is it all about you? Then they're probably your desires. If the desires that he's put in you is to help other people and to honor God and to live a life worthy before him, then they're God's desires that were put in you.
Hallelujah.
And you just write them out. You live them out. And in a way, you're turning the page and you're filling in the blanks of his plans that are already there waiting for you to fill in the blanks. One pastor said it this way, a dream in your heart without a plan in your mind will never produce a harvest in your hand. It's interesting, isn't it? Let me say it again. A dream in your heart without a plan in your hand will never produce a harvest in your hand. Matthew 1:23, one yet. A virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God's with us. So, God's already written on the page that you're turning. It's up to us to fill in the blanks. And he promises that he'll never leave us. He promises he will be with us. That's why he came. Emmanuel, God with us. God says, I'll be with you. I'll be with you as you turn the page. I'll be with you in your future. I will come. That's why I came. I will stay with you and I will never leave you. As you turn the page, as you start to write again, I'll never leave. I'll be with you. God, what if I fail? I'll be with you. What if I mess up? I'll be with you. What if it doesn't turn out the way I thought? I'll be with you. God's already written that in for you and I that are following him. And so we should take courage this morning that when he came, he decided to stay and never leave. Let's look at Zacharias' life. I could have picked, oh my goodness, I could have picked anybody in the Bible to use this illustration, and I just happened to pick Zach this morning because God brought him to mind. But there's so many examples of how they turned the page in their life when they met Jesus or met the Lord and became serious. It's just really amazing. I'm going to read the first 10 verses, and then we're going to look at each one in just kind of a practical way of how we turn the page in our life and get ready for the plans that God has for us. Luke 19:1. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacharias. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. When Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and he said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. All the people saw this and began to mutter, he has gone to be the guest of a sinner. Zacharias stood up and said to the Lord, look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Wow, what a passage. And so Zacchaeus, I would say, turned a page in his life. Why did I say not start a new chapter? Because he didn't quit the job that he had. He stayed a tax collector. He was just a changed man. Now you might say that he started a chapter in his life because he started engaging with God in a way that he never had before. He was brought up as a Jew and he understand religion, but he didn't understand relationship. So maybe he did start a new chapter, but obviously he turned the page. Now we say, how did he do this? Well, first of all, he noticed in verse 1 and 2, Jesus entered Jerusalem and was passing through. A man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was wealthy. The first thing that Zacchaeus did in order to get his page turned, he noticed he needed to have his page turned. He was done with the way he was living, even though he was wealthy. Obviously, he had a business of other tax collectors. And so he could do whatever he wanted to. I'm sure he had a fine house. He had servants. I'm sure he had a lovely family. He could take vacations when he wanted to. He didn't even need to go in the office if he wanted to. And he had this incredible life, but something was missing inside of his heart. And he recognized that. He noticed that something was missing in his heart. He didn't have peace. And he heard about this Jesus, and he noticed there was a stir across town. He noticed and he found out that Jesus was coming his way. And so if you want to turn the page and get ready, first of all, you got to notice that the page needs to be turned. I don't know how many of you, when I was in college, they had this book that was required reading called How to Read a Book. You ever heard about that one? I guess they don't use it anymore. It was written in the 40s, How to Read a Book. And it's really an amazing book because it tells you how to read a book and, you know, how to get the most out of a book. And one of the things I was reading, a summary, of course, I probably still have it on my shelf. I don't know, unless I got rid of it. But it says that when you read a book, you need to stay awake. I was like, that's really good stuff. So Zacchaeus was awake. He noticed that Jesus was coming to town, and so he decided that he is going to do something. He's going to engage. So the next thing we see in verse 3 is he wanted to get his page turned. He wanted to turn the page. It says he wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. Now, some of you would relate to this more than others, being in a crowd, being shorter. Zacchaeus, we don't know how tall he was, but obviously he was short. And so he wanted to see Jesus. He wanted to have his page turned, but he didn't know if he could do that or not. And so he found himself in a situation where his physical condition did not allow him to get to the front of the line. And he says, I'm going to do something about it. But he wanted to get in the way of Jesus. Jesus was coming down through town. He wanted to get in the way. He just had that in his heart. He wanted to get his page turned. And so he again, we can have that as well. We can have obstacles in our life, whether they're physical, whether they're mindsets, whether they're relational. We can have things in our way, in our environment, that we need to get out of the way. Someone said that it's really hard to stay positive if you're constantly in a negative environment. And I believe that's true. That's just how we're natured. We kind of begin to take on the environment that we're around. And if you're always in a negative environment, then you're going to become negative. Unless you make a decision to turn the page and to place yourself in a positive environment and to begin to understand how you should think differently about being in that negative environment. You can be in a negative environment and think differently about it. And it not affect you unless you think the same as in it. Someone said it this way, you can be a victim of your surroundings or you can be an architect of them. I like that. You can be a victim of the fact of being in a negative environment or you can be an architect to build something new around you that's different from what you're experiencing. Zacchaeus wanted to get in the way of Jesus. And so the next thing we find out is he did something. Imagine that. He didn't just talk about it. He didn't just cry about it. He didn't just wish about it. He did something. It says in verse 4, so he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him since Jesus was coming that way. He quickly made a plan. He decided, you know what? I'm ready to turn the page in my life, therefore I'm going to do something about it. And he did what he, you know, knew to do. I don't know whether he got a ladder or jumped up, I don't know whether he just got up on this tree. I don't know whether the limbs were down, whether he could climb up. I don't know how he got up there. Maybe he asked for help. But he got up into a place where he did something because he decided he was ready to again have his page turned. And then we find out in verses 5 and 6 that he liked the results. He liked the results of all the things he noticed, he wanted, he did something, and he liked the results. It says, when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today. So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly. Now Zacchaeus is excited. He's like, wow, I think my page is going to get turned today. I'm ready for this. I'm ready to welcome him in. And so he did that. I think it's amazing that obviously he had to be a person of means, which we find out. And he didn't, you know, Jesus said, I'm coming to your house today. He didn't, call the servants and make sure they were ready, food on the table. We didn't call the wife to make sure she was in the right mood. I mean, he just showed up with Jesus and all these people. It's amazing, I think about it, that he just did it. Zacchaeus was ready to receive Jesus in that way. And so he's excited about the change that is taking place. Then we get to verse 7. Not everyone will be excited or supportive of you turning a page in your life. Here we find all the people saw this and began to mutter that he had gone to be the guest of a sinner. Now they were upset at Jesus and they had labeled Zacchaeus as a sinner. Now that's one of the things that we need to grow in as a church or a Christian, to not judge people that we see from the external and think that that's also reflective of their heart. Because their heart could be ready to turn the page. Their heart could be ready to start a new chapter. But you don't know that until you enter into discussion and dialogue with them, until you find out what's in their heart. But sometimes we judge people because of associations, and we don't take the extra mile to have a conversation about what's in their heart. Maybe they're ready to turn the page, but we just look at them. And so the crowd was, again, just looking at the fact, well, he's a tax collector. He cheats people. He's not on our side. He's against us. Why would Jesus go into a house of sinner? Again, they were thinking Old Testament, not New Testament. Jesus is he's exampling what it means to live in the New Testament. So he went to Zacchaeus' house. So again, I just want to remind you that not everybody, you will turn your page and move on. Not everybody is going to be excited about that, basically because they don't want to turn their page. They just want to leave their page as it is and maybe look at the past and live out of it, but they don't want to turn the page to the future to actually experience something new. And so they mutter and complain about the fact that you are. But that's really what's going on. They don't want to turn their page. But other people will be excited that you've turned the page. I mean, think about Zacchaeus' family. Think about the fact that he now has a living relationship with a loving God. Wow, how much that household got transformed. I don't know how he ran the household before, but I guarantee it was transformed after that, because as soon as Jesus came in, he developed a heart of generosity. Think of his clients that were now blessed as a result of him getting saved. Think about them. I mean, they're going to build trust with him. Before, they figured he was just a cheat like all the rest of them. And now all his customers, all his clients are going to like, wow, I can trust this guy. It's going to be the right amount of tax and not too much. And that's what I'm excited about, doing business with him and not somebody else. What is happening here? Oh, my gracious. Sorry about that. I heard that. I said, that's got to be somebody else, not me. See, that's what I get, man. I had an Android phone before I got this iPhone, and none of this happened. And now I got my iPhone sitting in the office, not with me, and it comes up on my iPad. Oh, my goodness. I mean, you think you're making progress, and wow. All right. Yeah. Where did that come from? What was I talking about? Oh, some people are going to like it. Some people are going to like you turning the page, and other people are going to mutter about it because they don't want to turn theirs. Yet, he settled. Look what he did. He settled and turned the page in his life. In verse 8, it says, Zacchaeus stood up and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, here and now I give half of my possessions to the poor. And if I've cheated anybody out of anything, I will pay back four times the amount." Wow, what a life change. What a page turn. It just happened over a meal and a conversation with Jesus. And suddenly everything's different. Everything has changed. He didn't change his profession. He changed his ways because Jesus moved in. Now, here's what happens is that when we decide to make changes or turn the page, is that the cost happens up front and the rewards happen later. And if you start something new, you want to lose weight or you want to start something new, the cost of starting that new thing, that happens up front, and the rewards are delayed until later. And so we have to realize that when you start something, it's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. It cost Zacchaeus. But what he received from Jesus, peace in his heart, loving God, knowing he's forgiven, knowing he's free, that far outweighed the cost, the physical cost of giving half his possessions away, which he probably didn't miss anything. One and I were, we visited an island on our cruise, and this island, between Christmas and New Year, they clean their house, they paint it if it's needed to, and they clean out every room in their house and their garage. They just clean out all their stuff in that 1 week between Christmas and New Year so that when they start the New Year, it's all fresh and what they need. I'm like, wow, we can all learn from that. Wouldn't be as many storage units around the around the area if we all learned from that. And so Zacchaeus realized that it cost him. It straightened out his reputation. He had a reputation as being a scoundrel and a cheat. And yet, in this one instance, it straightened it all out. And now he's going to live that. So it cost something, but he had peace in his heart. And now he had trust with his clients. What an amazing way to live. God rewarded his life and his household. Let me continue reading here in 9 and 10. Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because this man too is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Jesus affirmed Zacchaeus' heart change. He took action. He brought results to something that he started. Why? Because he was willing to turn the page. Simple as that. He was ready. He noticed. He wanted. He did something that was in the way, an obstacle that was in the way, and he decided to go for it. So question to you, are you ready to turn the page? Or maybe start a new chapter. Again, I mentioned Crossroads, we're probably just turning a page, but maybe for you it could be a new chapter, something new. Or just turning the page of what previously had started and there's more to come in this year. But when we get ready to turn the page, we have to notice that we need to. That's what Zacchaeus did. He noticed, and then he wanted to. He decided, I want this. And then he did something. He did something. He didn't talk about it. He did something. And then as a result of that, that he was rewarded. It cost him something, but there was reward to it as well. And even when we start something new that may cost us something, if there's not a reward built in that at least we did it once, we went to the gym once, we stuck with a Bible plan for a week, and then we got off track, or whatever we start in trying to, there's reward that's attached to it, but there's also cost as well, and yet the reward will come. We just have to sometimes continue doing that which we've started. Not everyone will be supportive, but some will. And so make sure that as you start something new that God has put in your heart, make sure that you're around people that are supportive, that see what God is doing in and through your life and help encourage that. That's so, so important. And then recognize that as you turn your page, other people are going to be blessed. Your household's going to be blessed. Maybe your workplace is going to be blessed. The community that you're involved in is going to be blessed because you've decided to turn the page. You already understand that God has written on that page, and we're just filling in the blanks. What an amazing future that we have for us. And that's pretty exciting. So, what do you need to turn the page in this morning? What has God placed on your heart for the coming 24 that you say, you know what, I'm ready to turn the page this morning? Maybe it's something that has been, that you never accomplished in 2023, but it's still lingering and you know it's on your heart for 2024. You know, as much as I appreciate live stream and being connected this way, there's some of you that are watching now and you've fallen into this place of just staying home when you could be here. You live close enough to be here, but you've fallen into this place of just staying home. Maybe it's time to turn the page. Show up next Sunday. Get involved. I appreciate live stream. You know, I watch other churches and things and gain something from it. But I am totally blessed when I come here in person. Fully, graciously, to the fullest extent. I'm blessed that we have this way of being connected, but don't let it be a crutch to not turn the page. You know, some of you are contemplating following Christ. Maybe for the first time, or maybe a recommit. Following Christ is the time to turn the page. You've just been, you know, you've been dabbling around long enough, and it's time to engage. Is this morning that morning? Some of you have accumulated hurt in your life. All through the years, it may have come from church or family or friends, other places. Is it time to turn the page? Forgive. Just forgive. True forgiveness. The kind of forgiveness that you walk away from that which hurt you and it's gone, it's left you, and you don't think about it anymore. And when you meet the person that hurt you, they look different. You talk about different things. Because you're not carrying that hurt anymore. Is it time to turn the page on that? Is it time to turn the page? You've been sitting here for maybe 6 months or a year and you're not really involved in anything. Is it time to turn the page and join a life group or lead a life group or seek out maybe a ministry? If we don't have it, we can start it. Is it time to turn the page or get on with something, get in on something you're already doing? Maybe you've been here and you're like, this is my church home. These are my peeps. These are my family. But you've never joined in covenant relationship. There's a difference that happens when you do. Maybe it's time to turn the page on that one. God's placed something on your heart that started. And you realize, man, maybe 2024 is the year. And so here you are. We're at this place. It's not meant to be a heavy. It's just a reality. That we reach places in our lives of saying, okay, I think it's time to turn the page. You already have the comfort to know that God's already written on that page that you're turning over to. He already has His plans. We just fill in the blanks. It's a beautiful way to live. He says that the plans He has for you are plans for hope and a future, not for trouble or for harm. So you can erase the trouble or for harm. If that's happening to you, it's not from God. Absolutely not. Some other, you know, including the devil himself, that the desires that he's put on you are from him. You say, well, how do I know if the desire that I have is from God or not? The question is it just about you or is it about others and honoring God? If it's about others and honoring God, then it's from God because When we just have a desire that's just about us, it's just about us. And then it's our desire. Can I make it any more clear? If the desire is just about you, then it's only your desire. All right. Not a lot of rocket science going on here. And then he says, Emmanuel, I've come to be with you. I've come to stay with you. I will never leave you. Are you ready to turn the page? That's it. So I've thrown out a lot of questions, and I didn't mean to step on anybody's toes. But I do think there comes a time where, as we turn over another year, it's time to assess that maybe we need to turn the page, engage again, something we let up on, something we discarded. What has God put on your heart? I want to give you an opportunity to stand before the Lord this morning as a way to say, God's put something on my heart and I'm ready to turn the page. In turning the page, you may start a new chapter or you may continue on just more of what last year held for you. Could be both. But either way, still turn the page. So I'm going to invite you to stand up before the Lord. I just want to pray for you. Again, if you're contemplating following Christ, there's going to be some folks that are going to be available up here to pray with anybody after the service. And I invite you to come and say, I want to say yes to Jesus this morning. Turn the page. You can pray with them and they'll help you get started. Wow. Father, you see these folks standing before you, God, and it's not really a place that we look around and see who else is standing. But we're really standing for ourselves before you at this very moment. And I pray, God, that as we are standing all before you right now, that we can take courage, that we're not alone. First of all, you said you'd be with us. And in second, we're not alone because we're in the body of Christ. And there's people to the left or the right. We might not know them very well yet, but left and the right that are standing as well, equally saying, you've called me to turn the page here. And so, God, I want to stand before you, making that acknowledgement this morning. And I pray, Father, that you would just download now the next steps, just like you did Zacchaeus, that he recognized that Jesus was coming his way and he wanted to get in the way of Jesus. And so he again did what was needed to the obstacles that stood in front of him. It happened to be a physical one. For us, it may not be physical. It may be spiritual. It may be emotional. It may be relational. But Lord, you know the way through. We sang that this morning. You are the way, the truth, and the life. So Lord, we just again stand before you. We need your help. We need your guidance. We need your encouragement. And we thank you for your love through it all. Bless those standing today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.